Welcome to the Undefeated Podcast with Sara. Did you know that you don't need to live feeling defeated in any area of your life? I believe a huge part of us learning to live from the place of victory is learning to see from God's perspective and discern what's heaven's agenda in this particular season in your life and in the world around you. In this podcast, we will practice discerning what God is doing, both regarding our individual journeys and corporately, so that we can partner with Him in seeing His kingdom come and will be done right now on earth as it is in heaven, and live our lives undefeated. Happy New Year, everyone! Hope you've had such a wonderful Christmas time. I just got back from Finland, where I was visiting my family, and I'm so thankful that I got to have some quality time with them. I have some words that I feel that God is highlighting for this new year, but I will save them for another episode, so stay tuned in. Because today I want to talk about another topic that I've been pondering on during this Christmas break. And it's about the favor of God. And I don't think God's favor is what we often think it is. Mary in the Bible is a great example of that. It says in the scriptures that she was highly favored. I want to read for you guys from Luke 1, 28-33. This is from NIV. It says that the angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." And I want to read this also from the Passion Translation. So it says that Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Rejoice, beloved young woman, for the Lord is with you, and you are anointed with great favor." Mary was deeply troubled over the words of the angel and bewildered over what this may mean for her. But the angel reassured her, saying, "Do not yield to your fear, Mary, for the Lord has found delight in you and has chosen to surprise you with a wonderful gift. You will become pregnant with a baby boy, and you are to name him Jesus. He will be supreme and will be known as the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will enthrone him as king on the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign as king of Israel forever, and his reign will have no limit." And also in the same chapter later, I'll skip down to verse 42. It continues from the place where Mary goes to see Elizabeth, the mother of John the Baptist. And Elizabeth is saying here that, "With a loud voice, she prophesied with power." This is also from the Passion Translation. "Mary, you are a woman given the highest favor and privilege above all others, for your child is destined to bring God great delight. How did I deserve such a remarkable honor to have the mother of my Lord come and visit me? The moment you came in the door and greeted me, My baby danced inside me with joy. Great favor rests upon you, for you have believed every word spoken to you from the Lord. Can I just point out, first of all, that the favor of God brought the presence of God, like literally in this case, the favor of God on Mary's life brought Jesus, God himself, to her. And also that the presence of God resulted in dance. So favor brought presence and presence brought dance. Even for the little baby John in Elizabeth's womb, or like the NIV says that the baby in the womb leaped for joy. I honestly believe that dance is the most natural response to the presence of God. And it's so beautiful to see how in this scripture it connects faith with favor. So Elizabeth says that great favor rests upon you, for you have believed every word spoken to you from the Lord. So she had great favor, not because she was striving and trying so hard to please God, but simply because she believed. But when we read more about Mary's story, we come to discover that there were lots of things about her journey that would make us wonder if she actually was favored at all. Like we all know, you know, there was no room in the inn for her to give birth, let alone get some rest after a long journey. And she had to flee to Egypt to protect her baby boy, baby Jesus. And she was probably very much misunderstood and misjudged by a lot of people. And the list goes on. And I think sometimes we freak out when things don't go smoothly and we think that maybe God has abandoned us or his favor has left us when things don't go exactly how we hope for. But I've got some news for you. God's favor on your life is not based on your circumstances, and your circumstances are not a reflection of God's favor on your life. And I was just thinking of my recent trip to Finland, and I think a lot of you who have traveled over the past few weeks can relate to this. There's been so many delayed and canceled flights, which has made traveling slightly insane. So my trip to Finland, which was originally supposed to be a bit under 24 hours, turned into over 48-hour long travel. So I drove from Reading to Sacramento, or got dropped off there, and then I flew from there to Phoenix. And from there I was supposed to fly to Chicago, but it was so crazy windy that the plane just could not land. And it was shaking like crazy, literally like a little leaf in the air. And when we were already about to land, like very close to a touchdown, the pilot decided that it wasn't safe. And he took the plane up again. And I was sitting at the very end of the plane, like one of the last rows. And I literally thought I was about to meet Jesus face to face any moment. And, you know, not even kidding. Like, I was searching my heart to see if there's anyone I still need to forgive before I go to heaven. You know, it's funny how quickly conviction comes when you think it might be your last moment on earth. But instead of going to heaven, I found myself in Indianapolis because they decided to land there instead. And they let people who were too scared to stay in the plane get out there. And then they announced that they will try to land again in Chicago. And even though it was another crazy, shaky experience this time around, the pilot managed to land. But what it meant was that I missed my connecting flight to Helsinki. And they had to reroute me via New York. but there were no more planes flying out of Chicago that night. And actually not till the evening of the following day. So I had to sleep on the airport floor. I hadn't eaten the whole day. I was so hungry, and all the restaurants at the airport were already closed. It was freezing cold, and I felt so upset. I had a horrible headache from the lack of sleep, and I knew I was going to miss also my domestic flight in Finland, and I knew that I would need to buy a new ticket for another flight because it wasn't part of the same itinerary. And booking flights last minute, just before Christmas, especially to my hometown, Rovaniemi, which is considered Santa's hometown, is not easy and it's not cheap. So, besides that, I was still recovering from the shock that I thought I was about to die. And that there was also the uncertainty if there would even be any flights the following day because of the crazy storm that was going on. I was so emotional, and I have been so looking forward to spending time with my family, which is such a rare treat for me. So, I was a bit of a mess. I'd like to tell you that I was the woman of faith who just calmly waited to see how God was going to come through. But I was literally sobbing at the airport, not even caring if people were staring at me. But as I was lying on that cold airport floor, I was reminded of this story of Mary and how she was highly favored. And yet, there were all these horrible circumstances she had to walk through. And of course, you know, my trip is nothing compared to what Mary had to walk through. But I just thought it was so kind of God to remind me of Mary's story in that moment. And, you know, of course, there are times when God comes and intervenes and literally saves us from our troubles. And I have seen God come through. I have so many testimonies of God saving me from crazy circumstances too. And I had actually literally seen God's care in such a tangible way before starting my trip. I actually want to tell you that testimony because I needed to take my COVID test, as you do before getting on international flights these days. And as I was waiting for the results that afternoon before my trip, my trip was the following day, and I was waiting for the test results the previous day. And I ordered a cup of coffee, as I do very frequently. And even though the barista had asked me how to spell my name, and I had said S-A-A-R-A, they still ended up spelling my name in the cup S-A-R-R-A, which is ridiculous, I think. But that moment, a friend of mine actually pointed out how the barista misspelled my name. And that same moment, I had this thought, which I believe was inspired by the Holy Spirit, that I wonder if they spelled my name right for the email address at that COVID testing place. And I realized that the testing place was just about to close for that day. And I decided to call them immediately and was able to get hold of them. And they were like, "Your test results have already been emailed to you." And so I asked them, like, "How did you spell my email address?" And came to find out that there was the same exact misspelling of my name in the email address as it was in my coffee cup. So I would have never received the results if I hadn't called them right at that moment. And by the time the office would have opened the next day, I would have already been too late. for my flight, or it would have been too late for me to get the results, and I would have most likely been denied access to board on my plane. So all that to say, I was so thankful that the Holy Spirit spoke to me through the barista who misspelled my name on my coffee cup. And that's just one little example how God does care about little details, and he loves to save us from all kinds of crazy circumstances by speaking to us. And so and I was also thinking, like, how actually I did get to see God's covering and care throughout this whole trip. And I was able to fly out of Chicago the next day. And even though the trip ended up being extra long, I made it safely to Finland. And I was able to book a new flight to my hometown, Rovaniemi, even when it was last minute. And I ended up having such a blessed time with my family. But I think when we face troubles of all kinds, it's so important that we realize that they are not a commentary on God's favor or his presence on our lives, and that sometimes troubles are just like a signpost telling us that we are doing something right and going the right direction, and that they can actually turn into a playing ground for the manifold wisdom of God to be manifested in our lives, and also into a training ground for us to learn to trust God all over again and in a deeper way. And I was thinking about this, that the goal is not to live a trouble-free, comfortable lives, but lives that actually make a difference in the view of eternity and for us to mature into Christ's likeness and for us to grow in our faith. And I believe that the way we grow in favor is that we actually get to grow through growing in our faith, and that faith is the currency of heaven. But I'm convinced that the favor of God doesn't mean material or even circumstantial things, but that most importantly, the favor of God equals to the delight of God's face and the light of his face shining on us, the smile of God over our lives, and the rain of his presence drenching us all over. I love the Psalm 72 verse 6 in the Passion Translation. It says that your favor will fall like rain upon our surrendered lives, like showers reviving the earth. And it's so beautiful how this translation puts it, that his favor falls on our surrendered lives, and that God is attracted to our surrender, and he delights in our surrender to him. And I believe, as I said, that the way we grow in faith is also through surrender to him. And the way we grow in favor is by growing in faith, and the way we grow in faith is growing in surrender. And I think it's Pastor Bill who says that great faith comes through great surrender. And yes, in his presence and favor is provision and protection and everything we need. I just read recently in the Psalm 5 verse 12, this is from NIV, it says that, "Surely, Lord, you bless the righteous, you surround them with your favor as with a shield." And that God's favor is like a shield of protection around us. But we don't get his favor through striving or performing well, but it is through great surrender to him. And I read somewhere that there are two Old Testament words for favor, and that the first one can be translated as grace, that when it says that Noah found favor in the eyes of God, and you know, Abraham and Moses and Gideon found favor with God, that it actually means that they found grace. And that the second Old Testament word for favor actually means delight, that when God's favor rests on you, it means that he delights in you, and that his delight is actually based on his grace that's operating in our lives. And I don't know about you, but more than anything this new year, I want to learn to yield and surrender to God and grow in grace. And I want to become so good at receiving his grace that I can become a fountain of his grace for others and represent his face and the delight in his heart to the people around me. And I want to live in his delight, in his favor, to dwell in the light of his face, not through striving, but through an absolute surrender and trust. Yes, and Jesus, I ask that you would let the light of your face shine upon our hearts, and we make way for your grace to flow through us. We want to be vessels of your grace. We want to live in your delight, and we want to bring you joy and delight this year and all of our days. And Lord, we yield and surrender once again, and we enthrone you as the Lord of our lives. We are after your heart. We want to know your heart. And Lord, I pray especially for the ones who are listening to this episode and are right now in the middle of very challenging circumstances. And I ask that those circumstances would turn into a playing ground of your grace and your wisdom, and that the light of your face would shine so brightly in the midst of all that, and that they would feel and sense your very presence carrying them in such a tangible way. Yeah, thank you, Jesus. Yeah, we love you, Lord. We love your presence. We love your face, Lord. We love to look at you. There's no one like you. Yeah, we love you, Jesus. Amen. Have such a wonderful, blessed week.